Everyone's had the experience of being in a group where you don't feel you belong. Maybe it was a class at school, a temporary job, a party you got dragged to. It might even be your own family reunion. Finding a tribe of kindred spirits isn't always easy or even possible. But even if you feel like you don't belong somewhere, there may still be good reason for you to be there, to stay there, and to make a place for yourself. That's what Amy Nelson did in her life as a lawyer on Wall Street. She asserted herself and made sure others noticed her presence and value.
I'm a very outgoing, very talkative person, but I remember when I first got to New York, I spent a lot of time kind of looking around and maybe figuring out how to act or how to fit in, who I should really be to be seen as someone who belonged in those rooms. I think what I learned pretty quickly is that if you choose to belong somewhere, you will belong. And I think the bigger thing for me, the harder thing for me that I still pretend at, was to figure out how to take up space to kind of even like square my shoulders and be very present and use my voice.
Amy learned to use her voice, and today people are listening. She launched The Riveter in 2016 as a home and community for women in business. We all want to find our tribe. And for everyone, especially entrepreneurs, creating a network of people you can lean on can be the difference between building something that lasts, whether it's a business, a team, or a life, and one that ultimately crumbles. So many exciting things are happening in the world of small business, but often what gets talked about are highlights. The overnight success stories, the billion-dollar IPOs, the massive exits. And just like your Instagram feed, it's not the whole story. Let's look deeper than the headlines and press photos into the real work of building something valuable and lasting. I love crazy success stories, don't get me wrong, but we all know what's more important than the destination is how you get there, the struggles you have to overcome, the insights you learn along the way. So that's what we're doing. It's raw, it's honest, and maybe it's exactly what you need to hear. I'm Austin Craig, and this is The Journey. Amy Nelson grew up a fifth-generation Ohioan. She loved sports, did well in school, her mom was a school teacher, and her father a lawyer. When she went to Emory University, she worked at the Carter Center, an advocacy and human rights group. It inspired her to follow in her father's footsteps and become a lawyer herself. But her ambitions going into law school were quite different than her reality coming out of law school.
While I was at the Carter Center, I became really interested in international law, the arena around democracy, access to information, and the right to vote. I worked on elections around the world in places like Jamaica and Ethiopia. And so that really drove me to go to law school. I thought I would get out of law school and go right back into international politics and law. But I chose a law school that was quite expensive. I went to NYU and I loved it, but I came out of law school with a boatload of debt. And that really kind of determined my career choices for many years to come.
Instead of international advocacy, Amy went, out of necessity, to where the money was. She became a lawyer for a high-powered firm on Wall Street. She started in 2006, right before the global financial crisis.
I really spent a big chunk of my late 20s figuring out what the narrative was around the financial crisis and the roles that all of the different players played. It was like drinking from a fire hose every single day, and I learned a ton. I worked with brilliant people. I was part of the news cycle, which was really interesting, and I learned a lot about grit, and I learned a lot about my limits or lack of limits in terms of work and what you can put in when duty calls.
Amy had always been confident and hardworking. She'd always been outgoing and ready for any challenge. But working in such a combative and competitive field as a financial services litigator on Wall Street during the financial collapse with no obvious mentors was definitely a challenge for her, as it would be for anybody. And even after getting that coveted job, she felt like she had to continually prove herself and figure things out on her own.
When I got to my law firm, I figured out very quickly that for a few months, the job I would be given would be to make binders. And that if I made the binders really great, that maybe I would get some other work, right? And this is coming out of 3 years of law school, but you're tested. And so I figured out how to make great binders with great tabs and great spacing on the table of contents and, you know, the correct papers where they needed to be. And that opened the door to other work. And I think it's a willingness to say, look, I'm going to do what they give me and I'll do it really well so that I can have more opportunities. And so my job was to be there and was to figure it out. And I'm somebody who shows up.
She learned the ropes and came into her own as a very capable attorney working on high-ticket, high-profile cases. But going to Wall Street was a financial move, not a passion. After 5 years as a Manhattan litigator, Amy moved back to the Midwest. She met the man who became her husband. Then he got a job at Amazon, and they picked up and moved to Seattle. She was still working as a lawyer when they started their family. But Amy noticed something when she was preparing to become a mother.
So the minute I told my colleagues I was pregnant with my first daughter, I felt like their perspective of me changed immediately. And there were questions about, did I want to work? Would I want to take certain cases? Would I want to travel? And so when you're being asked those questions, you know that someone's looking at you differently on one day than they did the day before. And I know that people have the best intentions, most people. But at the same time, like, I didn't feel like a different person. And I certainly didn't feel like a different person after I had my child. Now, I wanted to spend time with my kids and I wanted to work. I wanted to do both. And so I started really looking for examples of women who were in my peer group or who were above me, who had kids and who were making it work. And I just didn't see that many. And eventually, you know, kind of really talking to different women around the country, I realized that the workplace doesn't work for a lot of parents and women still bear the brunt of primary childcare responsibilities. And so it's not surprising that we still lose almost half of them to the workforce.
Amy wanted to work. She wanted to be a mom. And she was good at both and felt it should be possible to do both. Certainly, there were clients who would be eager to hire her. She already had a supportive partner. She would just need the right structure, environment, and community around her to make it possible. She began looking into launching her own legal practice and putting together projections and a business plan.
And so there are classes kind of all over the country that can help you figure these pieces out. And a lot of them are held at co-working spaces. So this was my first entree into what communal workspaces looked like. And it was interesting, like one of the co-working spaces I went to in one room had beanbag chairs, kegs, foosball, ping pong, like a fraternity house from my college days. And I think because of that kind of decor and environment and the community that they were creating, I didn't find women in the classes at these co-working spaces.
Amy started asking female friends and colleagues, old acquaintances from her career and college, where do working women go for community, advice, mentorship, training, and everything else that a successful professional needs? The answer surprised her. That place didn't exist. Her peers, other women advancing their careers, were doing so just as she had done on Wall Street. They were figuring it out on their own, working every day to prove themselves and assert their place in the room. For Amy, the need was clearly there. She'd felt it herself throughout her career and was feeling it more now as a mother. She wanted a space where women could gather, learn, share, and advance their professional work without feeling like the odd woman out, without continually exerting themselves to fit in to a boys' club. When we come back, Amy takes that frustration and launches The Riveter, a network of co-working spaces, communities, educational programming, tools, and more, built by women for everybody.
The Journey is sponsored by our friends at Salesforce Essentials. We use Salesforce Essentials every day, and it's part of our own business journey. Essentials combines sales and service tools in a single app to help small businesses win customers and keep them happy. See how Salesforce Essentials can help you be your best business at salesforce.com/thejourney.
From Wall Street to Main Street to life as a working mother, Amy had experienced numerous professional environments. She'd learned to establish her voice and authority in workplaces of predominantly men. But after reaching out to former peers, friends, and colleagues, she saw that she wasn't actually alone. She was just separated from the women everywhere who wanted the space and camaraderie of and for other women. That's when Amy began developing The Riveter, a modern union for working women, with the aim of providing everything needed for professional women and allies to succeed.
The Riveter is a modern union of working women, providing women and allies with content, tools, and action geared toward changing the paradigm. So we have everything from programming around the business basics to start a company, large or small, to working within companies on the retention of women in their workforce. We are there for everybody, both in real life and in the digital world.
Even with a clear need and a clear vision, Amy still had a lot to overcome in launching The Riveter. She knew it would be an enormous challenge. Building a network of content, physical offices, and community isn't something you can launch with a small, minimum viable product like you might with, say, an iPhone app. She had to document her plan, convince other people to get on board, and raise capital. And that's when she turned to other like-minded entrepreneurs that could help support and focus her efforts.
I entered a small business pitch competition in Seattle, where I live, and I had to write a business plan. I had to model financial projections, which involved doing a lot of research of what my industry looked like. I had to build a deck. I had to learn how to talk about The Riveter in a very tight way. I had to do some customer research. And so it really just set me down this path. And there was a deadline, just like a high school project, because there was a date that we had a pitch competition Friday. It was a Friday before the 2016 presidential election. And so I won the competition, and then it was like, okay, now what? Because I had been doing all of that on night, on the weekends, I was still lawyering. And so after I won the pitch competition, I remember sitting with my husband when we were watching the election returns come in. And I was like, if there's ever a time for me to go and do this, it's now. Like, why shouldn't I do it? And there were many steps involved in it, but my husband and I both decided, like, this is the time to take the bat and swing it.
That was 3 years ago. The Riveter has grown and evolved and flourished, with 10 co-working locations and thousands of members online. Amy's whole vision for The Riveter was a direct response to how colleagues viewed her during her pregnancy. And those same reactions came while she was building The Riveter, while visibly pregnant and after her child was born.
So, you can see it, right? It's not something that I could ignore or hide because I've been visibly mothering the entire time I've been doing this. I've gotten questions like, do you think you're physically up for building a national company? When I got that question, I was like, what? And he said, are you physically capable of building a national company? You have three kids, one's an infant, this is hard. And it was at that moment really that I wanted to throw my hands up and just tell him how exasperated I was. But I realized I had a choice then. And I took the choice to lean into being a mother because I think it's made me a lot better at everything that I do. And so I said, I know you'll never know this because you're a man, but I built this company while I was pregnant. And so I'm capable of anything. It shouldn't be our job to do this, but if we take what people see as perceived weaknesses and share with them how we see them as a strength, I think that can really change society. So now I talk about the strength of motherhood all the time, everywhere I go.
The Riveter is succeeding, and growth, even in an eager market, will bring growing pains. While Amy is a powerful example of individual tenacity, having the right people and community make an incredible difference. That's why she's building The Riveter, and it's part of the advice she offers young entrepreneurs today.
Keep in touch with every smart or interesting person you meet, because you never know how you'll interact or partner with them as you go forward in life. And I kept in touch with a lot of people, but there are a lot of people I didn't. And what's interesting to me is I meet people all the time now, and we do incredible things together or build partnerships or, they have fueled the growth of my business or I have introduced them to investors. The world is truly pretty small and people relationships, I think, are 90% of it.
There's a quote usually attributed as an African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Amy's grit and determination carried her through the fierce world of financial litigation in New York. Those same qualities allowed her to carry her career and the weight of parenting simultaneously. And it's those qualities that she relies on today to grow The Riveter, creating a supportive workplace for others like her. Being able to go it alone is an incredible quality, but having a community, a tribe, and people behind you to help when you need it is something that every entrepreneur, really every person, ultimately needs to thrive in life and business.
Thank you again to our friends at Salesforce Essentials for sponsoring The Journey. Our team at The Mission uses Salesforce Essentials every day. Salesforce makes the leading CRM, and they created Salesforce Essentials especially for small businesses. It combines sales and service tools in a single app to help you win customers and build your business. It's affordable, it's made for small businesses just like yours, and it includes in-app tutorials so you never get lost. Try it for free today. Visit salesforce.com/thejourney to start your free trial, or click the link in our show notes. We love Salesforce Essentials, and you will too.